Tonight in Boston, a group of local chefs and bakers are gathering for a charity benefit. Their aim, to raise money for Love and Spoonfuls, which gathers and distributes unserved restaurant food to local charities and soup kitchens. In a moment, we'll talk about that important cause. But first, to the event itself. It's called Oh My God Red Velvet, and it's a celebration of red velvet cake, which seems to be everybody's favorite sweet these days. There was the cupcake craze, the pie trend, and now it's all red velvet. Earlier today, we asked Angie Mosier, a food stylist in Atlanta, about the history of red velvet.
I've read things that said that Waldorf Astoria in New York laid claim to the practice of putting red food coloring in a cake. But being from the South, I think that it's a Southern woman that probably got the bright idea to put a whole bottle of red food coloring in some cake batter to make it fancy. And I consider the red velvet cake to be the Dolly Parton of cakes. It's a little bit tacky, but you love her anyway. And I stumble to the kitchen, pour
myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try. Now to tonight's event, the Red Velvet charity event in Boston. It's happening at Flower Bakery in Fort Point, and it will feature offerings from several well-known Boston chefs and bakers. And two of them join us now. Joanne Chang is the chef owner of Flower Bakery and the author of a recent cookbook, Flower, Spectacular Recipes from Boston's Flower Bakery and Cafe. Good to have you, Joanne.
Thanks for having me.
And also in the studio with us is Will Gilson. He's the chef at Garden at the Cellar in Cambridge and the consulting chef at the Herb Lyceum in Groton. Thank you for being here, Will. It's great
to have
you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so let's start with a little explanation about red velvet. Why red velvet? What's going on? Joanne, let me start with you. It does seem to be just about everywhere.
You know, it's funny because when we opened the bakery, I don't think I'd even heard of red velvet. That was just over 10 years ago, and we started to get requests for red velvet cakes, you know, once every 6 or 7 months maybe, and it was usually a Southerner who had relocated to Boston and wanted something special for his or her celebration. And now it's like every other request is red velvet. So it's like the cupcake trend, like you said. It's one of those things that's kind of taken over the food world, and now everybody seems to be clamoring for it.
And what is it that makes it red? Is it just food coloring? Is that all there is to it?
It is. In fact, I did put a recipe for red velvet cake in the cookbook, and I can't tell you the number of people who email me and say, this must be a typo, because I don't even know if I can buy this much red food coloring in the store. But it's all food coloring. It's quite a large amount.
Now, Will Gilson, you're more of a chef, more of a cook than a baker, but what's your take on this? Does it show up on your menu in certain ways?
Well, you know, one of the things that we always sort of pride ourselves with at Garden of the Cellar is that we try not to take ourselves too seriously when it comes to food. We like to have fun with it. And so, you know, for us, being a part of this event, we were more excited to be working with the other chefs and be a part of the charity and give to the cause. So we don't have dessert at the restaurant, so I figured what better way to incorporate red velvet than to sort of have like a fun, just maybe call this the turducken of the pastry world here.
So describe what you brought in. I've got it in front of me, and I can't resist sort of tasting it here, but describe it. It's, tell me what it is.
It's red velvet fried chicken.
Mm.
But we basically cut the chicken into pieces that would resemble about the size of a cupcake, topped it off with a little bit of blue cheese and sour cream, and then the sprinkles, if you will, on top of the cupcake are a little bit of chives, sesame seeds, and espalette pepper.
Okay, I'm going to taste it here, and Joanne, no disrespect to you, but I thought it made sense to start with the fried chicken and then move on to the cupcake for dessert. So,
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and so while I'm tasting this this chicken, tell me about your cupcake, what we need to know about it.
Sure. This is a very classic red velvet cupcake. It's got a little bit of cocoa, and it's got a classic vanilla frosting. We have actually, for the event tonight, created top hat red velvet cupcakes in which we take the frosting and we dip it in chocolate, so it's coated in a little bit of chocolate.
Well, I've just tried that fried chicken, and it's very, very, very good. It really is lovely. So now I'm going to top it off with a little bit of dessert here, the red velvet cupcake. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Oh, my God, red velvet.
Oh, my God. That must be, which brings us perfectly, as if I had scripted that, to this event tonight. Tell us about this charity event.
Absolutely. Love and Spoonfuls is an incredible nonprofit that started just over a year ago in Boston. Ashley Stanley is the founder and director, and she and a couple of people, they have a truck that literally goes around from restaurant to restaurant She goes to, I think, Trader Joe's and to Stop and Shop and various universities and picks up food that the kitchens can no longer, they no longer have need for, and then she brings them to soup kitchens. Working in a professional bakery and a professional kitchen myself, I see how much food is out there that we end up not giving, not being able to use for the restaurant, not because it's gone bad, but maybe, for example, today we actually did a huge batch of scone that's missing one of the dried fruits that's supposed to be in the scone. So rather than sell it, which we don't want to do because it's not what we normally have, and rather than throw it away, what we've been able to do is call up Ashley, and she comes by with her truck, and she picks up all of these scones, and then she brings them to various soup kitchens throughout the city.
Hmm. Now, Will, it seems like chefs are in an awfully good situation to sort of contribute to these kinds of charity events. What draws you to them?
You know, the thing that I love about cooking in Boston and working in Boston is that the strength of the community here is not just for us supporting one another. It's for us supporting the people that need our help as well. And, you know, the power in numbers is really what it is. But we get a chance to spend a night hanging out for a good cause and help people that we've never even met before. And by just showing up and being there and sort of having the power and the draw that we have from what we do on our day-to-day basis, we're able to help people out like Love and Spoonfuls and every other, you know, food-based charity that we work with in town.
Now, Will, my understanding is that you have another charity event that you're working on that hits a little closer to home due to all this heavy weather we've had.
Yes, we last Thursday, my mom actually had the snow collapse her greenhouses and kind of basically tear a hole, no pun intended, in her entire business. And so about 2 days ago, I was talking with a couple of my friends, Louis DiBicari and Jamie Bissonnette. We said that let's see if we can figure out some way to use our sort of mobile, you know, media presence, if you will, with everything that we're doing and turn it into some sort of fundraiser. So last night at 11:30, while I was waiting for my hoods to get cleaned, we created a blog and we created a PayPal account for people to donate to. And so now our next steps are to create basically a Mother's Day pop-up restaurant event in town, but we're going to do Mother's Day in March and have all of that go to my mom's business and help her get back on her feet again.
Fantastic. And you mentioned a pop-up restaurant. Talk about that. What is that for people who don't know what it is?
So pop-up restaurants are sort of a trend that started actually, I think, in China during SARS and then moved into London as a sort of savvy chef took over a warehouse space and turned into a temporary restaurant. But it's really gained a lot of momentum in California and New York lately. And we're just trying to carry that trend on into Boston, where you take over non-restaurant spaces and turn them into a restaurant for an evening and give people a dining experience that they come in. It's like a theater ticket and it's a theater show, and we just have the ability to have some friends and some great food and be able to pull it off.
Now, Joanne, speaking of trends, we were talking about cupcakes, we're talking about red velvet. What's the next sort of trend out there in the baking world that you see?
I'm hoping that it's pies. I actually love pies. We make we don't sell pies at Flower except for during the holiday season, but I think that when we do have them, people are crazy about them, and I think it's something that people miss. I think that there used to be pies everywhere. You could go anywhere and get a slice of pie, and now you're hard-pressed to find pie anywhere, so I'm hoping that it's pie.
And for tonight's event, we've mentioned that it's sold out, but other ways that folks can get involved and help this cause other than showing up there tonight?
Absolutely. Love and Spoonfuls has a website. It's loveandspoonfulsinc.org. And if you go on the website, you can definitely find out more about Ashley and what her crew does and help support redistributing food to people who need it.
Hmm. Will, final question to you. I asked Joanne about sort of the next trend. What do you see coming beyond pop-up restaurants, I guess? Where is your focus for your sort of wish list for the future, I guess?
You know, I think a lot of things that are going to move in the next direction are cooking classes. I think that it's not necessarily going to just be events where you come and you try someone's food. It's an event where you actually get hands-on. I think people find that they're more excited to pay money to an event where they get something out of it more than just a meal that they're going to put into their body and then, you know, have to go to the treadmill the next day and get rid of.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. Appreciate it.
No, thank you so much.
That's Will Gilson. He's chef at Garden at the Cellar in Cambridge, also consulting chef at the Herb Lyceum in Groton. And Joanne Chang, chef and owner of Flower Bakery and author of the cookbook Flower Spectacular Recipes from Boston's Flower Bakery and Cafe. And you can get recipes for both of these red velvet creations on our website. That's wbur.org/Boston. We'll be back in a moment.